Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So, buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen from the National Patriot, Diane Sorey from the Patriot Factor. It's Friday night, 9th, the 9th of September, if you can believe that already. Hello, Diane, how are you?
Okay, how are you, Craig?
I'm doing pretty good. We've got a 50-degree temperature drop between yesterday and today.
Yeah, I heard that. I mean,
50
your
degrees.
Neck of the woods. I'm sorry, it's too weird for me.
Holy crap, it was 103 yesterday, and just oppressive. And then today, 53.
Yeah, that's insanity.
Wow.
But folks, it's not climate change. That's normal for Nebraska.
That's just the weather, you know, and yeah, it's been raining. It's been raining here all day.
Oh, wow. Maybe it's a foreboding of a very cold winter coming.
You know what? That's what they're saying. They're saying we're going to have a cold winter and more snow.
Oh, fun. And we're going to have paradise and pool weather and beaches.
Well, you know, you can do all that stuff here, too. If you want to freeze your ass off, you can do it. But, I mean, you know, it's just kind of the way it is.
I'll think of you as I'm laying on my pool deck with the palm trees swaying, overlooking the lake, and I'll just be thinking of you and saying, so glad you're not here.
You know, but look, you're talking to the guy that barbecues in a blizzard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've done that a lot of times, and it's fun.
That's true.
It's fun.
That's true.
Well, folks, look, we got a lot of stuff to cover on tonight's show. We've got some domestic stuff, but let's start more or less over the pond. Yesterday marked really the end of an era. When Queen Elizabeth II passed away yesterday, it really did mark the end of an era. And there's been a lot of stuff said about her death and about her and about the monarchy and all that. And I think, Diane, you and I ought to get into some of that.
Oh, absolutely. You know, she marked the end of the Victorian era, so to speak, she also heralded in the new age for Britain.
Yeah.
She came along at the right time. The circumstances, she was never meant to be queen. But through the abdication of King Edward for Wallace Simpson, the whole line of secession changed, and she got it. And you know what, Craig? She was a damn good queen.
I guess, you know, as queens go, and I'm not, and we'll get into this a little bit later, but mm-hmm. I've never been enamored by the monarchy, so... You know, or by the royal family. It just, you know, doesn't mean much to me personally. I have nothing against Queen Elizabeth. You know, and by all accounts, she was an absolutely wonderful person.
Yeah. No one has really said bad things about her. Well, we'll get into one person a little bit later. But no one has really said anything bad about her. In fact, our presidents who have met her, she met every single American president since Truman except LBJ.
Right.
And there's not one of those presidents that did not say and speak of her in the highest regard.
Well, and you look at world leaders from all over the world. And they all had a healthy respect for Queen Elizabeth. And why wouldn't you? I mean, you know, like you said, she was never meant to be the queen initially, right. but when it landed on her, she took it with a great deal of dignity, a great deal of pride, and really a great deal of fortitude. And, you know, when you think about it, she ascended to the throne. I guess that's what they say over there. She became the queen in 1952. So England at that point was dealing literally still with the aftermath of World War II and having the bejesus bombed out of them by Germany for years.
Yeah, well, not only that, she took her role seriously. Remember, she became queen at only 21 years old. And during the war, she was an ambulance driver.
Right.
And she was also a mechanic trying to repair broken vehicles that were used during the war. I mean, this was a woman who, yes, she was a queen, but she wasn't afraid to get dirty. And when VE Day was declared, she and her sister Margaret, Princess Margaret, were out there in the streets celebrating with the common people.
Yeah.
I mean, this was a truly good woman.
Yeah, and apparently, I was doing a little bit of reading on some of the background information on her. Apparently, she had quite the sense of humor.
That's what Donald Trump said.
Well, I read a story that just kind of made me chuckle today. Apparently, this was several or many years ago, but she and the head of her security at the time, his name was Richard, but he went by Dick, and they were out walking during the summer near Balmoral Castle, and as they were walking along on this little trail, they were approached by two American tourists who were over there, and they did not recognize her.
Okay.
And they came up to her, and they literally asked her if she had ever met the Queen.
Oh, dear.
And thinking fast and having a sense of humor, she said, "No, I never have, but Dick here has been in her company many times." And so these two Americans, they're like, "Oh, really? You know the Queen?" And they start talking to him. And they said, what is she like? And he said, "Well, she can be kind of cantankerous and at times rather difficult. But all in all, she's a decent person." And these two Americans then said, handed one of their cameras to the Queen, not knowing it was the Queen, and asked her to take a picture of them with Dick, which she gladly did. And then Dick took the camera and said, "Well, let me get a picture of you three together, the two Americans and the Queen," but they still don't know it's the Queen. And so he took a couple of pictures of them and gave them the camera, and they went their separate ways. At which point, the Queen turned to Dick and said, "I would like to be a fly on the wall when they get home and show those pictures to somebody who might recognize me."
Yes. That's funny. That's a good story. But also very interesting was the Queen had a deep personal relationship, friendship with the Reagans.
Oh, yeah.
Very. They go back a long time. They visit each other's homes. The Queen would go horseback riding with Ronnie. She visited his ranch numerous times in California. And what's really, really nice was in June of 1989, the Queen conferred an honorary knighthood on President Reagan, the highest honor that Britain can give to a foreigner. A knighthood on an American president. There's something kind of special about that.
There really is. You wonder if Ronald didn't say, "Well, there she goes again." Yeah. You know, I mean, she was one of those rare individuals that apparently got along with everybody. I mean, there was no world leader that, you know, well, I mean, but of course, you know, she never met Hitler, of course. But no. I mean, during her time as the queen, every world leader she came across, she seemed to get along great with them.
Yeah.
You never heard a bad word. You never heard her say anything negative about anybody.
No, not at all. And in fact, another thing about Reagan, when he passed in 2004, the Queen has never attended funerals for other country statesmen. That's just some kind of law that they have.
Protocol. Yeah.
But she personally sent then Prince Charles to his funeral, and Nancy Reagan was so honored by that, because that has never happened.
Right. Right.
And there was a personal friendship there. And it's, you know, Reagan was kind of like our royalty in a way.
Yeah, in a way. And there's a great picture, too, of Ronald Reagan and the Queen and Margaret Thatcher together.
Yes, there is.
And you look at that picture and you go, holy cow, look at the power there.
Yes, it's really amazing. In fact, right now I'm looking at a picture of the Queen, Prince Philip, and Nancy and Ronnie, and they just look like old chums, you know?
Well, I think they were.
But you know what? That was at a different time. We had a different kind of president in office then.
Yeah, we sure did.
Yeah, she didn't look that happy with Biden, but again, that could be my, you know, animosity towards Biden showing through.
Well, she always seemed kind of annoyed by Barack Hussein Obama, too. Yes. And why wouldn't she be annoyed to some point when he comes there and gives her a gift of an iPod with his speeches on it?
I was just going to say that. You don't do that to the Queen of England. But you know what that showed? That showed that he had no respect for the British monarchy. No, we don't have a king and queen in this country. But she is technically the titular head of not only Great Britain, but of the Anglican Church. And you just don't go there and give her your speeches.
You know, you bring up a good point, and it reminds me of something I wanted to bring up on the show tonight. I saw a lot of Facebook posts yesterday from these holier-than-thou sorts, you know, the Facebook evangelists, I now call them. And they're saying, well, I certainly hope she accepted Jesus. And I'm thinking, I want to get into it with these morons, but I'm thinking that is the ultimate of ignorance, because she's the head of the Anglican Church, for God's sakes.
Well, you know what? Those Facebook evangelists, as you call them, maybe they don't even know that the Anglican Church is a Christian church. They could be that stupid.
It's possible, I suppose. But I saw a lot of that going on yesterday, and I didn't even get involved because I thought, no, you know, if somebody's that stupid, if they're that ignorant, there's no sense in trying to correct them. You won't get through.
True.
You know? But yeah, I saw a lot of that kind of stuff yesterday, and you know, everybody was posting up. You know, that, you know, when the news broke. Now, you and I, yesterday, we were talking early in the morning, and when it came out that the Queen was ill and under medical supervision, they called it, and the family was coming to Balmoral Castle, you and I both said, she ain't going to make it through the day.
No, and, well, you know, Craig, I have kind of a sixth sense, if you will. And when I heard that the children were summoned and that the doctors were there, were not leaving, I immediately made a meme to honor the Queen in her passing.
I did too.
And I just knew, in fact, I knew when they made that announcement, she was already gone.
You know, and that's kind of what I thought. I thought, you know, there's a protocol to all of this, right. You know, especially over there. And you want the family or as much of the family all together in one place before you you make the final announcement. So mm-hmm. when that came out, you know, she's ill and under doctor supervision, I thought, she's already gone.
Of course. Of course, because they need time. Let's put it this way. Harry didn't make it in time to say his farewells to the Queen. Charles, Camilla, and William and Kate were there. It's a sad state of affairs when, how do I explain this? Harry, in not making it there on time, that was kind of slap in the face to the whole monarchy. And he's having another tell-all book coming out, I believe, a few weeks.
Yeah.
And when now King Charles III spoke today before the British people, he, of course, you know, first spoke about his mother, what she meant to him, and how he hoped to carry on as a monarch the way she always had been. In other words, he's going to be stepping back from the political aspects that he took as the Prince of Wales, which surprised me a little bit because I never really cared for him.
I still don't.
I have a little bit more respect for him now. Not only with the way he honored his mother and the way he spoke about how he's going to rule, but also immediately he said now that William and Kate are now the Duke and Duchess of Wales, which right then and there, if anything happens to Charles, William automatically becomes king. And he did mention Harry. But not in the way that a lot of people expected. He wished Harry and Meghan luck in their other life in another country.
Right.
Did not mention Harry and Meghan's titles as the Duke and Duchess of Sussex. He basically, and I got this from contacts in Britain, he's fed up with Harry. He's fed up with Meghan Markle. She, and this is my opinion alone, folks, she is the cause in the rift in the monarchy.
Well, she might be, but didn't they have to give up their titles, though? I don't think he's the Duke of Sussex anymore.
No, they keep the Duke and Duchess. They had to give up his and her Royal Highness.
Ah, see, it's all this crazy royal protocol. I don't get it. You know, I'll never understand it because I guess I don't really care. But, you know, it's funny if you listen to the news today, everybody's tripping over Charles' name. They keep calling him Prince and then they correct themselves. I mean, King.
Right.
You know, because he's been Prince Charles his whole life.
Right.
You know, so that's the only way they know him. Now, you know, I simply call him King Upchuck III. because I don't regard him in the same way that you know, as the Queen, let's say.
No, of course not. He you know, he wasn't so nice over the years. What he did to Diana was a disgrace. It's a disgrace in the moral sense of cheating on his wife, not really ever loving her. But a little bit of me, as a 21st century woman, has a little bit of, you know, he should have been allowed to marry Camilla right in the beginning. But she was a commoner. She was a divorcee. And that was a no-no back then. And she was a commoner.
Right.
And that part is a little, you know, not to the liking of how we're all raised here. But then when, you know, Harry wanted to marry a commoner, I don't want to say, you know, common piece of trash, but
good, good, yeah, don't say that.
The actress gold digger, you know.
Right.
He kind of knew that that would be the end of his place.
Well, but I mean, look,
family.
Yeah, but let's face it, he didn't stand a snowball's chance of ever being on the throne to begin with.
No, because the succession goes to the children. And right. That I've always thought weird. I mean, Diana had two sons. Why should the grandchildren come next in line instead of the second son?
Well, because
that's just something I never really
again, got. It's royal protocol, I guess, because right. You know, the son and then the son's firstborn and right. And then that one's firstborn, you know, right. I mean that's the way I guess it's always been. You can trace the British monarchy, the bloodline, all the way back to the early 1200s, and it's not hard to trace the bloodline. The genetics are all pretty much the same. You know, it's not really a family tree. It's a family pole. But
well,
you know,
a little bit different with Britain. They're not quite like a lot of the other countries, but I never understood why, if the king and queen had two sons, why that second son was demoted. I just didn't get that. So Harry lived his whole life knowing he was going to be nothing. And that must be pretty hard on a child also, but it doesn't excuse his actions now.
No, it doesn't. And he lived his whole life knowing that he would never be the king, but mm-hmm. knowing that, you know, if he minded his P's and Q's, he would always be a very, you know, well-known and well-respected member of the British monarchy, and doors would fly open to him.
Right. He'd still be His Royal you know? Highness, Prince Harry. He's lost all that.
Yeah, he's now his royal ass.
Yeah, well, but, he's been that way for a while.
You
but,
know, look, I mean, he is what he is. Why do you think that people over here on this side of the pond, why do you think Americans are enamored to a point with the British monarchy? Because it's obvious. I mean, it's all over the news. It's 24/7.
Yeah, well, I think there is a reason for that. And I think a lot of us here, me included, our heritage is European. A lot of us have family that come from, let's say, Great Britain, whether it's Scotland, Northern Ireland, England proper. I mean, a lot of us have those European roots. And with that, we kind of understand the monarchy. Even though we were not born under a monarchy, it's kind of in our bloodlines that we came from there. America was founded on the principles of Great Britain, the values, the honors, the societal norms. You take an American, put them in Britain. You take a British person and put them in America. The language, the culture, the values, it's the same. So we still have a tie to really what's our motherland.
I suppose.
And they're a staunch ally. Britain, especially this queen, has always been a staunch ally and defender of the United States.
Yeah, I mean, that's all true. I guess maybe I see it a little bit differently. I tend to think the infatuation with the royal family over here is more gender-based. I think most men in our country really don't care. I mean, you know, you bring up something about the royal family, and they're like, yeah, but did you watch the football game last weekend? You know,
that's true.
You know, I mean, most men in this country, they don't really care. I mean, they know who these people are, but that's about it. Right. You know, but most women over here, I think, are more enamored with the British royal family. They're royal watchers. They tend to immerse themselves in it, and they know, you know, the whole, you know, who's in line for this and that, and who the princes and princesses are and all this. And I think that might be because women see it as more of a romantic thing, maybe more of a almost
fairy tale
fantasy world, mm-hmm. you know, whatever you want to call it, you know, and stories, you know, from childhood of princes and princesses and kings and queens,
sure.
you know, and, you know, that sort of thing. And I think, you know, for the most part, it's more gender based than anything else. I mean, I've got those European heritage roots, mm-hmm. but that doesn't make me really care about the royal family. Now, I'm interested in Scotland and Ireland and England as places, mm-hmm. but not so much the royal family. And maybe it's because I just look at the royal family and I go, well, you know, around here we've got a saying, all hat and no cattle. And that's kind of what the royal family is. It's all based on protocol and precedent and, you know, the bloodline and the history and the pomp and the circumstance and all that. But they've got no real power.
No, they don't have any power. They're the figureheads.
Yeah.
But they represent England's past, England's victories. They represent the Commonwealth, and they represent the British people in a social sense, which is important.
It's more important over there, you know,
than it would be here.
But yeah,
it's. I think the reason that I'm not a royal watcher by any means. However, I do honor them because it's from where we came and our values, our cultures, our ideologies, they are the same.
Yeah.
Minus a few, you know, like a monarchy and all that. But there's really no internal difference, and I'm not talking genetics, folks, but there's no real internal difference between the British and the Americans. And that has to do with our culture, and like I said, our values, our ideals, our language, which unites us. I mean, we have so much in common between the two countries. When forget the War of Independence and 1812, once we entered the modern era, when England needed us, we came to her aid. When England needed us, let's say under Reagan and Bush and all that, England came to our aid. So it's like reciprocity.
Yeah. Yeah, but why do they drive on the wrong side of the road?
Well, that I don't know.
I mean, that irritates me. And
I love their cars.
I do too. But, you know, I think if I ever go over there and rent a car, I'm going to crash it in the first 5 minutes.
Ah, you probably would.
You know, I'd just be on the wrong side of the road for them, right side for me. But
my car would know where to go.
right. But I watch people and my sister and my aunt went there one time, and this goes back probably 40 years ago, you know, and they drove, they got a car and they drove around, and I don't know how they did it. I would have been terrified.
It's a little different. Well, we have some, you know, differences between us, obviously.
And we're not a theocracy.
No, but for the most part, it comes down to culture, values, and ideals. And we share the same ones. And I think that's why, I mean, when I heard that the Queen died, I was very upset. I mean, this is the only monarch that I've ever known in my lifetime.
Yeah.
That my parents ever knew. I mean, she has been around forever. She's an iconic figure.
Yep, that's true.
And the fact that she was so good and so decent, that, I mean, she was married to the same man for 74 years.
Yeah, that's remarkable in and of itself.
And she was a status in the fact that duty and country came first. And I honor that.
Folks, we've hit the bottom of the hour. Now, we've got some more stuff I think we need to talk about with the Queen and that situation. Mm-hmm. And some people, one in particular, that had no reverence for the Queen whatsoever. And I've got some things to add to that part of the conversation, too. So we're going to get into that. And if we've got time, we've got a couple other things we want to cover. But, folks, stay with us. There's more Right Side Patriots after this.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi, guys. Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Craig Andreessen from The National Patriot, Diane Sori at The Patriot Factor. If you miss any part of tonight's show, all you need do is go to rspradio1.com tomorrow morning, bright and early. Click the podcast button, and you can listen to the whole show or any of the other shows that are there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right, so we're talking about the death of Queen Elizabeth II yesterday, and we've done some checking. She is still dead. It's going to take a while before they bury her. Perhaps on the off chance she gets better, they don't want to rush into anything.
Oh, come on, Craig.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, I look, I understand it's a big deal. Okay. Mm-hmm. But 12 to 14 days, 10, 12, however long. I mean, wow.
It's 12 days. It's, well, in that 12 days is not just the funeral, but it's the official ascension of Charles to become king. It's not just the funeral. They go through a whole thing, not only with the Anglican Church, but with the actual investiture of him as king and
whatever Camilla that means.
As queen. It's a number of things.
Well, now, wait a minute. Now Camilla never really becomes the queen, though.
She's the queen consort, but apparently her wish was that Camilla, I keep wanting to call her Camilla. The names are
It's Camilla. Similar. Camilla.
Camilla. The queen wanted Camilla to actually be addressed as queen.
Really?
Yeah, apparently they got along famously, as they say. Ooh. After the shock in the beginning of Diana and all that had worn off, apparently Great Britain, the people themselves, have come to accept her.
Well, I don't know. Did they have a choice?
Yeah.
Really? I mean, it just doesn't seem like they really had a choice. I don't know.
Apparently she's done a lot of good charity work and, that type of thing. A real Britophile would know all that stuff. I can't pull out anything out of my mind for that. But she's done a lot of good things. And apparently, those two loved each other from the beginning.
Right, but why wasn't Phil ever the king then? He was always Prince Philip.
I used to know the reason why of that. Because he's not British by birth. He didn't come from the bloodline. They were third cousins, but I believe it was third cousins removed. And he came from the Danish and Greek bloodline, not from the British. And I think, don't hold me to that, but I think that's the reason why he never actually became king. Well,
but Queen Elizabeth had German in her bloodline. The royal family has German in their bloodline.
They have German in their bloodline, but not in the birth line per se. Like her grandmother or great-grandmother was Victoria and then so forth down the line. Her father was British. It's a complicated thing. If you look how they determine bloodline there, it is very complicated.
It is, but they didn't change their name to Windsor until, I think it was 1917 or something like that.
Well, that had to do with the schooling of the children. What name do they go under?
Well, but they had a German last name before they changed it to Windsor. The royal family in Britain had a German last name, and then they changed it to Windsor.
I didn't know that. Victoria? Yeah. Victoria had a German last name?
Yeah. Yeah, the royal family had a German last name until her husband shifted it up.
Prince Albert. I don't know what Albert's last name was.
Al, his friends used to call him.
Oh, okay.
There were some not so nice things said about the Queen and her passing yesterday, and it came from what I call a melonhead, some professor at Carnegie Mellon University.
Mm-hmm.
Who was it? What the hell did she say?
Her name was Uju Anya. She's a professor at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And what she basically did, her tweet has been taken down because it was so vile. And what she basically did was she called the Queen a thieving, raping, genocidal empire, meaning headed by the Queen. This woman is a critical race theory so-called expert and says she has expertise in diversity, equity, and inclusion and in structural practices and curriculum design. In other words, she speaks bullshit.
Yeah.
But basically what happened when she heard that the Queen was dying, she wished her a horrific, most painful death. Ugh. And she accused her of sponsoring the genocide that massacred and displaced half her family and the consequences of which those alive today are still trying to overcome. She said that wretched woman and her bloodthirsty throne have effed generations of my ancestors on both sides of the family. And she supervised a government that sponsored the genocide my parents and siblings survived. May she die in agony. Well, let me tell you something. This queen had nothing to do with what happened in the past.
See, this queen didn't get to the throne until 1952.
Exactly. Okay,
and it was under Queen Elizabeth II, where it was right after World War II, it's 1945, is when Britain decolonized, okay? And so all these colonies that they held in Africa and India and other places, those all went by the wayside beginning in 1945. So by 1952, that was all over, and Queen Elizabeth oversaw the rebuilding of the UK in the modern sense. She had nothing to do with any of the stuff that happened before.
Yeah. She's been, in fact, she's been chastised by the university for past things she's done, petitions she sent around, and she used an ethnic slur. Now, this woman is a black woman, but she used an ethnic slur. She called cotton pickers, meaning the blacks, who unfortunately were slaves and pick cotton, she called them cotton pickers or wild animals.
Wow.
Yeah.
And she says something like that, and then she's got the nuts to say what she said about Queen Elizabeth II?
Yeah.
What a turd.
I mean, she is, there was a petition going around about her that she can't be trusted with children, that she's a racist, and... Well, I mean, this is not a nice woman. In fact, one person said she needs to be fired. There's no way in hell she should be allowed to teach black American students. She's a danger to any black American she comes in contact with. Fire her now. I don't know if this petition is still ongoing, but this is what's in her past. Let's put it that way.
Now, I'll tell you one thing that was very interesting about what she said. Okay, is, and she put this out there on Twitter, and somebody on Twitter immediately came to the defense of Queen Elizabeth II and let this woman, this melon head from Carnegie Mellon, have it. Who was it?
That was Jeff Bezos of Amazon, and that was kind of surprising, but she came back at him and said, basically, and I don't have the exact tweet here, folks, so I'm just paraphrasing. Basically, oh, you're just a money-hungry billionaire scum or some nasty comment.
Jeez.
This is a vile woman.
I would think so. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm no fan of Jeff Bezos or his Amazon organization. But here it is. He comes to the defense of the Queen. And she starts immediately talking about his money. Now, what does that say? She's just a jealous bitch.
It's exactly what it says. That's exactly right. But she wasn't the only one that came out yesterday and made those types of comments. Sonny Hostin, who was on The View, that crappy-ass TV show, she came out and agreed with this woman and went off on the Queen because of the colonization and everything. Let me tell these people something. They need to stop thinking with their skin and start using their brain.
Yeah. Okay? Well, you know what? Where would this world be without colonization?
Well, it would be a hellhole everywhere. But
exactly.
Think about this. If you look at where the British had colonies in Africa and in India, those places are better off by far today they were better off by far under British colonization than they are today.
Exactly.
Okay, if you look at how those people live today and you look at some of the rulers, if you look at Rwanda, for instance. Now, that used to be a British colony back in the day. But you look at it today, and that's a crap hole.
Yeah. You know, the word colonization has gotten a very bad meaning, but it's not a bad word. Benign colonization, colonization that helps a society move forward, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, there's not. But if you go far enough back, if you go back into the 1600s, the 1700s, yes, England was a big part of the slave trade. Mm-hmm. Great Britain was a big part of the slave trade. There's no getting around it. Okay. Right. But so were a lot of other countries. That all came to an end a long, long time ago.
Exactly.
All right. To hold this queen, who just passed away yesterday and didn't sit on the throne until 1952, accountable for that is pure ignorance.
Yeah, I'm tired of these people living in the past. They didn't live in the past. Nobody around today lived in the past. Let the past go. If you're going to spend your lifetime living in the past instead of in the present and looking forward to the future, you're one sorry individual.
Well, and being offended on behalf of people that have been long gone for generations, so you go back 150, almost 200 years in some cases, you know, and claiming that you've been wronged because they were wronged. Yeah. That's crazy. That's ignorance.
Absolutely crazy.
You know, and show me any people. I don't care who. Show me any people throughout history that have not been slaves to somebody else at some point in history.
Exactly. And this woman on The View, what she said, and this is a quote, because if you really think about what the monarchy was built on, it was built on the backs of black and brown people. She wore a crown with pillaged stones from India and Africa. And now what you're seeing, at least in the black communities that I'm a part of, they want reparations. Well, you know what? You know what I say to her? You can stick your reparations, because every people, every race, every nationality, every religious persuasion have been slaves at one time or another. Jews have been slaves. The Irish people were slaves. Christians were thrown into the arenas as slaves. Get over yourselves. This is the past. And do you know what? Who are the slave traders today? They never speak about that. The Muslims and the blacks.
Well, I mean,
why don't they speak about that?
Well, because that doesn't get them reparations. You know,
I
mean, it's follow the money.
Reparations to anyone.
You know, follow the money. It's you know, very simple. And if they're all that upset about it, then why don't you ever hear them talking about the black people in Africa who helped the British round up the slaves? Why don't you ever hear about that?
I got a better thing, Craig. Why don't these big mouth so-called black leaders, they're not doing a damn thing to help their people still in Africa. Africa is one of the worst places you can live in. I mean, yes, there are pockets of big cities that are modern. But look at the genocide going on in Africa.
Right.
How come all these blacks with money and their big mouths, they're not doing a damn thing to help their own people?
Well, listen to this. As of 2018, okay, it was 4 years ago, the countries with the most slaves in 2018, not 1918, not 1818, 2018, the countries with the most slaves, India has 8 million, China has 3.86 million, Pakistan 3.19 million, North Korea 2.64 million, Nigeria 1.39 million, Indonesia, 1.22 million, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, 1 million slaves, Russia, 794,000, and the Philippines, 784,000. You don't hear them coming down on any of those countries that still use slaves today.
And how many slaves are in Britain and the United States and France and Canada and Spain? Italy, zero.
Zero.
Okay, I'm sick of their crap. I really am.
Yeah, it's
seriously. Get over yourselves.
It's an interesting situation when you have people that think with their skin and not with their brains and show their ignorance, because this queen who passed away had nothing to do with any of that. Now, I mentioned a few minutes ago that the British royal family used to have German last names. Yeah. The last name was Saxe Coburg. It's hyphenated, S-A-X-E-C-O-B-U-R-G, Saxe Coburg, and the other name was Gotha, G-O-T-H-A. And it was King George V back in 1917 that did away with that and changed the last surname to Windsor.
To Windsor. Well, they didn't actually have a surname. That was only, at least in modern day, that was just taken basically for the children when they entered school.
Right, but because they had to have a surname when they entered school. But before 1917, it was Saxe, Coburg, and Gotha. And they got rid of them. Yeah. They got rid of those because they wanted to cut all ties with anything German during World War I.
Oh, well, yeah, I could understand that.
Right.
But the bloodline was still there. But it's okay, because when these monarchs really reigned, and I don't mean, you know, remember, Queen Elizabeth, while she was queen, she was head of state, but she was not the government.
Right.
Back in the days when the king and queen were government, that was a whole different ballgame.
It sure was. And that's the situation where we got out of that. You know, you go back to the War of the Revolution, 1776, we were cutting ties with the British monarchy because that was the government.
Exactly. We did not want a theocracy. And hey, holy rollers, we don't want a theocracy now either.
I mean, that's just the way it is. But,
right.
You know, and it's all very interesting. And, you know, there's a lot of history, of course, with Queen Elizabeth. You know, and everybody's been talking about that for the last 24 to 36 hours, and we'll continue to talk about that for days and weeks to come.
10 more days.
Mm-hmm. You know, the monarchy itself, there's good and there's bad in every form of government.
Right.
You go back into the ancient history, of the British crown, you know, and there's some fascinating history. When you look back, you know, back into the 1200s and 1300s, and what a brutal time in this world that was. Not just there, but everywhere.
Everywhere, sure.
You know, those historical facts, and you look at those and you see how it's changed. You see how it changed up until World War I, and then you saw a remarkable change after World War I when Queen Elizabeth became the queen, and it set the tone for everything that most people know of the United Kingdom today.
Right, right. I think of the United Kingdom as one of America's staunchest allies. I respect them and honor them for that. And I honor Queen Elizabeth. She was a true, gentle yet strong monarch who saw duty first and country first. And I honor that in the fact that she was a statist, country first, just like President Trump is a statist, America first, just like I'm a statist, America first.
You know, one word that has not been bandied about very much regarding the death of the queen, and I think should be, especially in the face of what that woman from Carnegie Mellon and the woman from The View had to say, is that above all else, I believe Queen Elizabeth was the most benevolent of monarchs that you can imagine.
Absolutely.
And the word benevolent has not been kicked around very much, and I think she embodied that.
She was very, very kind. She loved her family. She doted on her children and her grandchildren. She was known as Britain's grandmother.
Right.
That's what they referred to her as, a loving grandmother. She loved her country. She loved her people. And anyone that shames somebody like that, shame on them.
It's yet to be seen, you know, how King Upchuck does. Time will tell. With that, I have concerns because of his political points in the past. Right. Now, if he lets all that go, and you know, does what his mother did, then so much the better. You know,
one thing about Queen Elizabeth, she never got involved in politics. She never picked sides, and that's something that Charles needs to learn to be a successful monarch like she was. You've got to put the politics aside. You've got to treat both sides pretty much equally. You can have your own personal views, but don't bring them out in public. Don't antagonize the people.
I believe the leopard will change his spots when I see the king wearing a pillbox hat.
Okay, yeah, like that'll happen. Hey, you never know, right?
Hey, you never know with those people. You know, I don't know. I understand the history, and I respect the history. I respect the kind of person that the queen was. There's absolutely no reason not to respect the type of person she was. She, you know, if the world was full of people like her, the world would be a lot better off.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, it's and you know, you'd be a fool to try and argue that point. And yet there are fools out there, and we've talked about a couple of them tonight. And it's an interesting moment in history. You know,
it's the end of a historical era. As they say, it's the end of the second Elizabethan era. That's how it's being referred to in Britain.
And I think that's accurate. And there's going to be a lot of royal stuff in the news for the next couple of weeks. And, you know, there's going to be some tiffs, and there's going to be, you know, some dust ups, I think, within the royal family. And we'll see how it all shakes out. But, you know, through it all, the people of the United Kingdom, the Brits, they're going to do what they've always done in a period of turmoil or turnover. They're going to maintain their composure, and they're going to soldier forward. That's what they've always done.
Or, as they say, they're going to go on with a stiff upper lip.
So's the queen.
That's what they're you know, what they're known for. But they're good people. We have so much in common with them. So many things we share together. Like the British honored Reagan when he passed. We need to honor the queen.
I agree. And, you know, we all have a different way of doing that. We all have different feelings about it. But the bottom line, the base of it all is, this was a very, very good person that did absolutely remarkable things and never had a bad word to say about anybody.
That's true. And something interesting, folks, she never gave an interview.
No. And I mean, imagine being in that limelight and having that many people that wanted to interview you and always saying, no, it's not proper.
She did yearly speeches to the public, but she never did a sit-down interview with any reporter or anything, because she never wanted her reign to become politically driven in nature. And you have to honor her for that.
going to be interesting to see how things move forward. Now, folks, we had other stuff that we had lined up to talk about. We have taken the whole show on this topic, and I think that's fine because there's so many different aspects to this. And this has been, I think, a really good conversation.
I think it was, too.
We're out of time, but if you missed any part of this and you're interested in it, please go to rspradio1.com beginning tomorrow morning, and you can listen to the whole show.
Yes.
With that, Diane, we're out of time.
In the morning. All right. Nighty-night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. You have a great weekend. We'll catch up with you on Tuesday. Bye-bye.